Let's turn to the book of Mark. We're doing a series through the book of Mark. And I know it's late, so I won't preach the whole sermon, but we'll just pick up a few things from the book of Mark. Mark chapter 1, if you've got your Bibles. If you haven't got your Bibles, well, you haven't got your Bibles. But next week, we're going to start calling out everybody who hasn't got their Bibles. Especially guys with pink shirts who don't have their Bibles. Yeah, what I'm saying? Okay. Yeah. Is your name Rory? Jeez, your mum's good, eh? Really? Amazing. You my mate. Okay, you got Mark chapter 1. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. Say, got up. You lazy millennials. This morning we hit the rich, today we're going to hit the lazy. Okay, so all the rich folks, they got all tired, but most of them are at their beach cottages anyway this weekend, and their hunting lodges, so they actually got off. So we gave them a full go, but they didn't hear the message. Jesus got up. Say, got up. Yeah. I had a millennial staying in my house this weekend. He got up at 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon. Not my son. I woke him up. But he left the house, not true story, left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Say, "Everyone's looking for you." For most of your life, that will be the demand upon your time and your attention and your gift set. Everybody wants a piece of you all the time. You work for someone, whether your own boss, some people work for you, everybody wants a piece of you. Everyone was looking for him. And if you don't set your priorities in a place of prayer, you will burn out and be ineffective with the call of God on your life. Listen to me carefully. You have to, as John Mark Comer said so wonderfully last weekend, if you weren't here in the morning, get his download from the internet from Sunday morning. You have to put disciplines in place that can prioritize your life and your gift set. Amen? We've got too many people wasting their time running after things that are unimportant that will have no effect in eternity. We are stirred by temporary pleasures. We have to find out what God desires for our lives. Everyone is looking for you. Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else." Everybody's looking for you. Let us go somewhere else because he's prioritized himself in prayer. Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there. That is why I have come. Say that. That is why I have come. Why have you come? Why have you come here? Why are you in this city right now? Why are you in this church right now? Why are you in the university? Why are you in the position? You have to determine the reason why you're here at this time. You've got to determine it. You know, suicide, they call them, I think, anomic or something suicides. In Australia, the highest form of suicides is teenage suicides, and the reason is because people don't know why they exist. There might even be people here who are suicidal. The reason why people commit suicide is they do not know the reason why they exist. God did not waste his time knitting you together in your mother's womb. He put a set of skills inside of you. He put a call inside of you. He put a personality inside of you. He put a gift set inside of you so that he can extend the kingdom of God through your life. You've got to determine what that looks like and eliminate everything else. Too many people, as that guy said, I don't know who it was. He spent 4 years here, but he wasted his time. Don't waste your time, young people. You've got to determine what. Learn Arabic if you have to. Learn Mandarin if you have to. But do something for Jesus. Amen? That is why I have come. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Friends, we have got two major issues in this world. We've got brokenness and we've got a healer. Jesus spent time with the healer so that he can spend time with the broken. We have got a city that is deeply in need. If you just spend time with needy people, you will burn out. If you just spend time with the healer, you'll end up in the monastery. If you spend time with the healer, he will put something in your heart so that when you see the broken, you can give it to them. So we're not just spending time so we can get all filled. We're getting spending time so that we can be equipped to get the attention of the broken and reach out our hands with compassion and give it to them. You've heard me say this 100 times. I'm going to keep putting in you. So whenever you're in another country, you'll remember this. God has got a name. His name comes from Exodus chapter 34. I am gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, abounding in faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. When you spend time with God, you will become gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and abounding in love, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And as we go into the city, we'll find broken people, we'll find rebellious people, we'll find sinful people, we'll find wicked people, and with compassion, we can reach out our hand and touch them and say, it's going to be okay. Amen? He said, be clean. Say, be clean. Be clean. Friends, there are 4 great needs in the world. The 4 greatest needs of every human being: to be loved, to be free, to be clean, and to be whole. To be loved, to be free, to be clean, and to be whole. And when people look at us and they say, do you think Jesus is willing? With compassion, we reach out and say, he is willing. Be loved, be free, be clean, be whole. Amen? Be clean. Be clean. Be clean. First mission trip I ever went on was to a place called Gazankulu. There was a man there who had sinned badly with his hands. His hands had been in places they should never have been. And we got into the car to leave, and he wasn't in the car. And the guy who was leading the mission said to me, please go and get him. And I went into the bathroom and he was washing his hands. He's washing his hands, washing his hands, washing his hands. I said, Simon, what's wrong? He said, I can't get my hands clean. I can't get my hands clean, Rory. He said, I'm going on this mission trip and I'm going to reach out my hands. I can't get my hands clean. And if you let Jesus touch you, your hands will become clean. You will leave this place tonight with clean hands and a clean heart, and a clean mind, and a clean body, because he is willing to make you clean, and he is willing to love you, and he is willing to free you, and he is willing to make you whole. Amen? Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. We won't have time to look there, but you'll find them in Leviticus 14. And there's blood and there's oil. And blood always speaks about Jesus. Oil always speaks about the Holy Spirit. And it said you must take the blood and you must put some on your earlobe, some on your right thumb, and some on your right toe. And so God doesn't just say that for fun. So he takes his blood and he cleans us. He then puts oil over us, which he gives us the Holy Spirit. And he says, I'm going to now teach you how to listen to a new person. I'm going to touch your ear so that you can hear me. I'm going to touch your thumb so that you can actually get a grip on this life. You take your thumb away, you can't eat with a knife and fork. You've got no strength. If I hold you like this, you can pull out of that grip. But if I hold you like this, you can't pull out of this grip. So you start to get a grip of the Christian faith. You actually understand what Jesus has done for you. And so the devil can't shake you around because you start to get a grip of what Christ has done for you. And your toe, if you cut your big toe off, you fall over because your big toe balances you. And he says, I'm going to actually teach you how to walk the Christian faith. You might have done some really bad things. Your hands might be dirty and your heart might be dirty and your body might be dirty, but I'm going to touch you with my blood. I'm going to touch you with my oil. I'm going to teach you ear to hear. I'm going to give you grip on your life. I'm going to teach you how to walk properly. Amen? Instead, he went out and he began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Say outside. Outside. Underline that word outside in your Bible, Rory. Praise God, brother. When were you born?
79.
What date? 21st
of October.
Same as me. No, I'm only joking. So underline outside. Say outside.
Outside.
So say Jesus outside.
Jesus outside.
Let's have a look at Leviticus 13. And I know you might be tempted to think this is describing teenagers. It's not. The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes. Yeah. Now have a look around. Have a look around. Yeah. Now this is very nice. Yeah. Yeah. I see you've patched them up, brother. Very nice. Very nice. You're an old guy. You're also an old guy. Must wear torn nose. Let his hair become unkempt. Just don't look around. Just keep looking straight. This is describing a leper. He must cover the lower part of his face and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. Leave me alone. What's wrong with you? Nothing. Leave me alone. He must live outside the camp. Say outside.
Outside.
Outside. The leper lives outside. In the book of Mark, who's outside? Jesus is outside. You see what happens, friends? This is an incredible thing. It's called the divine exchange. You see, if a man was unclean and you were clean, and you touched the unclean man, you yourself became unclean, but not with Jesus. When the clean touches the unclean becomes clean. You see, that's the problem with the church. The church says, we can't mix with sinners. No, we're meant to mix with sinners. They're not going to infect us. A drug addict's not going to infect me. A porno addict's not going to infect me. But when I go into his space and with compassion, after spending time early in the morning, after spending time with a gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and abounding in love God, when I reach out my hand in compassion to any form of brokenness, God brings healing and cleansing and freedom and wholeness. Amen. Amen. But this is what happens, friends. In the beginning of the story, Jesus is an insider and he is an outsider. At the end of the story, he is an insider and Jesus is an outsider, so that you never have to feel like an outsider. And you don't have to do anything to become part of the in crowd, because Jesus made you part of the in crowd immediately. Amen. And so you don't have to worry about peer group pressure and say, well, you're not part of the crowd. No, Jesus made you part of the crowd. And Jesus touched you so you can be inside and he's happy to live outside. And I want to share four things. For time's sake, I won't go through all of them. But these are the four things I want to share. In Isaiah 53, it says this. Our punishment. He bore our punishment so that we could have his peace. He bore our punishment so that we could have his peace. I've been in the church a long time. And about five or six times, we've had cutters. What do you call them? Yeah, cutters. People who cut themselves, mutilators. They punish themselves by cutting themselves. Got cuts all down their arms, all on the inside of their legs, all on their backs like that. Because they don't know that Jesus got punished for their sin so that they can have his peace. And some people might not necessarily physically cut themselves, but they punish themselves in their beds at night. They punish themselves when they go to work. They punish themselves with what they've done. And the devil comes along and says, you're not worth it. You don't deserve it. You can't earn it. And they punish and punish and punish. And Jesus says, listen here. I went to the cross so that you who deserve punishment, I will take your place and give you my peace. I want to say to you tonight, young people, if you're punishing yourselves for your stupidity, then get on your knees and ask God to forgive you so that you can walk out of here with peace in your heart tonight. Amen? That is the preaching of the cross of Christ. He became an outsider so that you and I can become insiders. And whether you're bound up, you can be set free. Whether you're dirty, you can be made clean. If you're broken, you can be made whole. And if you're unloved, you can be loved. You know, there's an incredible story of a leper. In 2 Kings chapter 5, there's a very important man. His name is Naaman. He says he's a valiant soldier. He's distinguished. He's highly successful, but he's got leprosy. And then it says they sent out raiding parties. He was the head of the army that went and raided, and they brought a little 10 or 12-year-old girl back. Probably killed her family. Soldiers probably raped her mother and her sisters and all of those things. They pillaged them. They raped them. They broke them apart, and he brought this little 10-year-old girl back. And she's in his house, and she sees that her master's got leprosy, and what she should have felt, the remorse and the hatred and the resentment, what she should have felt is, I'm going to sit back and watch my master's fingers fall off one after the next. But Jesus was in her heart, and she said, I know a man who can heal you. I know a man who can heal you. You see, friends, we are the only hope of our bosses and our situations ever coming to Christ. We ourselves must be healed so that we can reach out our hands in compassion and touch those who have got leprosy, those who are sinful, those who are broken, those who are demented, those who are bound up by drugs and pornography. We can reach out our hands like Christ with compassion and say, be healed, be set free. Amen? The second thing, friends, if we can turn please to Mark chapter 15. And your other finger, you can go to Psalm 69. It says, at the ninth hour, darkness came over the whole land until... Sorry, at the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? How many of you feel forsaken? Lift your hands. How many of you feel you've been let down? Lift your hands. Hi. Like this, ha, ha, ha. People have dropped you. When some of those standing near heard him, they said, listen, he's calling Elijah. One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down, he said. And with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. Friends, just for the visitor's sake, this sponge was not some sponge that came out of a sanitary cupboard with a plastic around it that you opened up and then put on a stick. This sponge was the toilet paper that people used in public latrines. And you would wipe your bottom, and then they would clean it in water down at the bottom, and they'd put it there waiting for the next person to come and use the public latrines. And that's the sponge that they took and stuck it into wine vinegar and stuck it into Jesus' mouth, and he swallowed every human excrement. He swallowed all your rubbish and my rubbish. He took it like this and he swallowed it, and he pronounced, it is finished over your life and my life. It's finished. All the junk, all the rubbish, all the nonsense, I've swallowed it and I pronounce over you, it's done. It's finished. Psalm 69. Verse 7, for I endure scorn for your sake. I endure scorn for your sake. Been forsaken, been rejected, been let down. Jesus says, I will endure it for your sake. I'm going to swap places with you. But turn around. You're going to become an insider, and I'm going to become an outsider for your sake. You've got to understand this, guys, because some of you are going to go through hardships in your future. You've got to understand this. You have a theology that can hold you. I am a stranger to my brothers. So even some of my family are going to drop me. My own brothers and sisters are going to drop me. An alien to my own mother's sons. Verse 12, those who sit at the gate mock me. I am the song of drunkards. For time's sake, verse 17, do not hide your face from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in trouble. Come near and rescue me. Redeem me because of my foes. For you know how I am scorned, disgraced, and shamed. All my enemies are before me. Scorn has broken my heart, has left me helpless. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. This is what happened in Mark chapter 15. I am scorned, disgraced, and shamed. Scorn has broken my heart. Jesus did not die from crucifixion. Jesus died from a broken heart. Crucifixion was a long, agonizing death. Jesus had a long death, but he died too quickly because he never died from his blood running out. He died from his heart being broken because he cried out to God, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And God never gave him an answer. He turned around. He said, because today in 3CR, there's going to be a group of people sitting that are scorned, despised, and rejected, and they have to know that I've swapped places with them. My heart was broken so that their hearts can be healed. My heart was broken so that their hearts can be healed. You were an outsider when you walked in here. If you believe Jesus, you'll become an insider. And he'll become an outsider. And you'll walk out of here healed. Amen? It says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Two more and we're finished. To Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. It says, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin. Say no sin. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Who's got a white hanky here? Unused one. White. White one. Yeah, white one. Yeah. Don't worry. Don't worry. When's your birthday? I'm only joking. This is what it says. I'm sin. And what the devil will always do is always put your sin on parade. He'll always put it on parade. Always, always put it on parade. And what Jesus says is, I become your righteousness. So the devil would love to hold up your sin in front of your eyes, would love to remind you of your shortcomings. But wherever I go, that's all God sees. He just sees the righteousness of Christ. He doesn't see my sin. He doesn't see my failings. It doesn't mean he doesn't deal with me. It just means I hide behind Christ. I want you to look in the mirror tonight, and all you see is a white sheet. Just a white sheet over you. And you think, but I'm dirty. I'm not clean. No, he's willing to make you clean. He takes your sin and he gives you his righteousness. Some of you might be in foreign countries, travel to foreign countries, do stupid things. I don't know how long you're going to be here, but never forget this picture. You are the righteousness of Christ. You are the righteousness of Christ. He's covered you. Second Corinthians chapter 8. and verse 8. I'm not commanding you, but I wanted to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say the grace. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. He was rich, you are poor, he became poor, so that I can become rich. Unemployment is a curse of a system which is ungodly. There is no problem with resources in this world. There's only a problem with supply. And there's no problem with supply. There's only a problem with release. You see, you've got a whole lot of men that build up a massive dam, and then they start to trust the dam. They don't have to trust the source anymore. They just trust the dam. You know, Clint runs three businesses in Durban. He left those businesses with a manager so that he could come and join us in the church up in Pretoria. So he left those businesses. He said he wants to come and pastor in 3CI. 2 weeks before the Mozambique trip, his manager resigned. He wanted to go back and study. And Clint tried a whole lot of different people, never found peace. Him and his wife fasted and prayed and trusted God, and nothing came to bud. Instead of making a decision that would have been a bad decision, he got in the car on the day that his manager resigned and went on a trip to Mozambique with absolutely no telephone communication. He left three businesses unlooked after in Durban. And when he got back, his manager said, "I registered too late. Actually, I don't want to study. Do you mind if I have my job back? I actually just came back to work on..." So the first day that Clint was in Mozambique, his manager was back at work. You see, we just got to trust God. We've got to trust the source. We don't have to trust our cleverness. We just got to trust the source. We've got to make faith decisions, because he became poor so that you and I could become rich. And I'm not talking about a prosperity gospel. I'm talking about the ability to sustain ourselves in normal living. Four things, friends. He took our punishment so we could have his peace. He took our shame and rejection so we could have his acceptance. He took our sin so we could have his righteousness. And he took our poverty so we could have his riches. I want to say to you tonight, if you are unloved, if you are dirty, if you are bound up, or if you are broken, he can make you loved, he can make you clean, he can make you free, and he can make you whole. He will make you an insider, and he's prepared to become an outsider so that you never feel like an outsider. In Jesus' name, amen.